Hebrews chapter 8, as we speak tonight, or as I speak, Matthew Porter's induction service is going on at Parkside. Nancy was just mentioning, I didn't know anything about that, so I just mentioned for her to tell them that we'll all be over to the lunch after, so... Could have had it at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning, I suppose. Before, the title of this message is Forgive and Forget. And I've been angry ever since I started looking at this. I'll explain why in a few minutes. Let's just pray before we... Did I pray? I didn't, did I? I should have. Thank you, our Father, for this portion of your word. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And then, dear God, that it's a requirement for us to be forgiving. Lord, I just pray as we look into these things and we think about these things that you would genuinely speak to our hearts and you'd encourage us in Christ's name. Amen. Well, titled the message, Forgive and Forget, the first verse that we're going to look at tonight, or the text that we will be using and thinking about this evening, is here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. It says, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Having said that, keep in mind, if you're here this evening, you're a sinner. You've sinned against a holy God. You were born in sin. You were born lost. You were born condemned. You were born damned. There isn't anything about us that's righteous or good in the sight of a holy, just, sovereign God. And because of what Christ has done, because of the finished work of the cross, we can claim tonight that we're forgiven. So I got thinking about this idea of forgiveness and how forgiving I am or how forgiving I'm not. And one of the things that came to my mind was just how complex of beings we really are. Because I picked up an article the other day, and I just opened a magazine. I had a few minutes, and I noticed that it was all just on two pages. I must read this. Do you believe that as believers that we should forgive and forget? Somebody? Yes? At least one person believes we should forgive and forget. As soon as I started to read that article, I remembered every wrong thing anyone had ever done against me. Things that I had worked to try to forget years ago came to my mind when I started reading about that I'm supposed to forget. The forgetting part reminded me of the things that I thought I had forgiven. And the more I read the article, it was I started to get angry. And I thought, I had dealt with this 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago, last week. I thought, what in the world is this all about? Are we really supposed to forgive and forget? Do you think if someone does something against you that you're supposed to forgive? You're supposed to forget? Now here it says that God is merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. He said, I will remember no more. We have confidence tonight that God forgets our sins, right? That's interesting. Do you believe tonight that God is omniscient? Which means he knows everything. He chooses. Chooses each bite 50 times. Never have any trouble with your intestinal tract as long as you chew each bite 50 times. Nothing will ever taste good or right again. Anyway, it's choose. Listen, if God forgets, then he doesn't know everything. What in the world can it mean? And I got thinking about, let's just assume for some reason something happens and I'm involved in some sin that hurts someone. I decide tonight after the service that I'm going to start drinking, and because I don't, wouldn't take a lot to make me intoxicated, and then we go for a drive and we crash and you lose your leg. Or maybe, how about this? If you forgive me, your leg grows back on. Or the idea is somebody asks you, what happened to your leg? Well, I have no idea. Well, you must know how you lost it. No, I forgot. Is that what would happen? Think about the poor, illegitimate child. Somebody is involved in a relationship, a child is born out of wedlock or whatever. Forgiveness takes place, forgetting takes place, and God looks at the child, who's that? I don't know. I forgot about, what does it mean that God forgets? And it's true, He chooses not to hold that to our account. It isn't that He forgets the incident, it isn't that He doesn't know that it happened. Think of it like this. That would be like saying that God doesn't know that Christ died on the cross. If He forgot. Why put Him on the cross? It was sin. Sin was forgiven, so He forgot. It isn't like that. And one of the things that came to mind and that was written in this article, I failed to write down who wrote it, it was just a short thing, but nonetheless, is just this. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and we don't have to turn there, the thief on the cross, who the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Remember him? He said an interesting thing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, remember me. He told the Lord Jesus Christ just before they both died, being a sinner, he knew he was a sinner, and he said to him, remember me. The other side of the coin, wouldn't we like him to forget? But the truth is, he wanted Christ to remember him like you would want some wealthy relative to remember you in his will. And the thief on the cross would have been remembered in Christ's will, so to speak, in that he inherited eternal life because of what Christ had done for him. And as I read through Scripture and I thought about this idea that we're forgiven, there are 12 things, just 12 observations that I made that has to do with this idea of forgiving and forgetting. And I don't want to upset you guys tonight, but the real truth is, as soon as I started talking about forgetting, I bet you had some things, sinful things came to mind that someone had done that you thought you forgot. Can you forgive without forgetting? Can I remember and still forget? Still forgive? I think that might be the trick. Anyway, number one was just this. God knows everything. You read through Scripture, and I'm not going to give you appropriating text tonight. The real truth is just this. Nothing has ever occurred to God. God absolutely knows everything. He knows what you're thinking, even now. He knows when you would be born. He knows the moment and how you will die. Knows everything about us. There's no mystery in God's mind. One of his attributes is omniscience. Therefore, it's just this. If he knows everything, he really can't forget anything, number two. Thirdly, I just wrote this. And how many of you have had someone offend you in some way? And you made a conscientious decision. I'm going to forgive this person. For my own sake, I'm going to forgive this person. I can't live, I don't want a root of bitterness to develop and destroy my relationship with the entire planet Earth. So I need to forgive this person. And then you start the process of trying to forget. And you know, I really believe that just the nature of us, the more we try to forget, the more permanent it gets marked in our mind. Because to forget, I have to think of it until it's gone. We can ask the Lord to take things away, but we have to choose. So I just wrote down, fourthly, that forgiveness is an act of the will. That's what forgiveness is. It's a deliberate act of my will. It's something that I have to decide. I'm going to forgive this person, this misdemeanor, no matter how great or how small. I'll never forgive if I don't want to. And I thought about it, what does it mean to forgive? And someone put it this way, it's I relinquish my right to get even. When we don't forgive someone and we hold a root of bitterness, and we could spend hours talking about this, and it happens at every level. We retaliate against the one who does us wrong. That's our nature. We were born with a fighting nature. You weren't? I think you might have been, but I think most of us, we're competitive. somebody hurts us, we want to hurt them back. And so on. And the idea is, in my case, there have been a few things that I have desperately tried to forget. And it seems like the wicked one knows just how to remind me of those things. And the more abstract we are in our thinking, the worse it is. You know, if I thought about it before, sometimes it would be nice to be a little more simple. And the wicked one couldn't slide these little things in that would disturb us. But it's just this. Forgiveness is an act of the will. We have to decide that we will forgive. We have to want to forgive. And it's to relinquish our right to get even. Number five, and I thought about this for some time, do you know not to forgive is disobedience? Forgiveness is a command. It isn't that I have a choice. That's why it gets interesting in the Christian life. And I thought about it this way, and Eugene and I had looked at some information that was written by I'm not sure who, a number of years ago, and it had to do with this idea of a choreographer who was helping a couple dance. And I'm going to say he, because ladies are better dancers, right? Aren't they? You think I can dance better than you? You've never seen me really dance. It's a sight to behold, I'm sure, but the truth of the matter is just this. That this couple had to dance together, and the timing had to be perfect. The moves had to be done exactly at the right time. And the idea is, if you're dancing with someone and they get out of step, you just have to dance harder. It isn't a matter that you have the right or the privilege to end the thing because you want to or because this person isn't dancing properly. Or maybe it's a sport. Somebody on your team isn't playing properly. You just have to play harder. And we don't have any rights as believers. I've thought about that a number of times. I don't have the right not to forgive. Obedience is the key here. It's just we've been told, and we're going to look at some references here in a few minutes. Over and over again, it's my responsibility as a believer to what? Boycott. If you don't do it how I want, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play. If you don't play this game by my rules, I'm not playing. I'm going home. I'm not coming back, and I'm going to make sure that these other kids aren't going to come play anymore either. You could go on and on and on. But the truth of the matter is, as believers, I don't have the right to retaliate when someone does something wrong to me. You don't have the right to retaliate when I do something wrong to you. Why? Because the truth is, we're all sinners. Now, let's keep in mind what our topic is tonight. It's forgiveness. Now, you could get off on some things, and we're not doing damage now to church discipline and saying, oh, well, just forgive and let it go. We don't tolerate sin. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, especially on a personal level, when someone offends me, I'm supposed to, it's not a suggestion, it's disobedience. Not to forgive is disobedient. Number six, I just wrote this down, because do you know forgiveness isn't based on feeling? You know that you have to forgive even if you don't feel like it. How many times have you ever stopped and thought somebody offended you in whatever way, and you could say, yes, but this, this, and this, and you could be absolutely right. And we base what we do so many times on how we feel. Well, forgiveness is not based on feelings. We have to take a look at forgiveness in relation to what God's Word says. And the Bible tells us that we're to forgive, and those of you who are good in math and arithmetic and that sort of thing would know that 70 times 7 is a lot of times. If your brother offends you, the Bible says to turn the other cheek, and I had mentioned it one time before. I think why my head is loose. Lady of Samaria slapped me in the side of the head once. That's a big girl. Wasn't really the Lady of Samaria. She covered Samaria. Anyway, I was in a situation It was horrible. Someone had been hurt. Have you ever heard of displacement? This was a situation where somebody was hurt desperately by someone else. And I just happened to be there, and I happened to be a preacher. And that's a bad thing to be sometimes in the right situation. And I hadn't said much, and I don't even remember what I said. All of a sudden, the big hand lands on the side of my head at a rapid rate of speed. And I thought my jaw teeth from the right side were coming out through the left side of my head, but they didn't. When I regained consciousness, actually, I didn't fall. I looked at the lady and I said, "Did that make you feel better?" "Yes." I says, "Well, try the other cheek." And to my surprise, quack. And then she started to cry. "I'm sorry. I know. I never held that against her for 5 seconds. I didn't like it." But listen, the idea is just this. So this business of forgiveness has nothing to do with how we feel. It has to do with God commanded us and told us in His Word that in order for us to function, that we have to forgive. Now, we don't have to turn there, but God commanded it in Matthew 18, verse 22. In Romans chapter 12, this is number 8, in verse 19, what do you think about getting even? Do you think we should get even? I want you to know you can't get even. According to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 19, only God has the right to get even. And I've thought about it so many times, and I've looked back over my life and some of the things that I've both experienced and witnessed. You couldn't dream to punish a person remotely as God is able to. It isn't up to us to retaliate when somebody wrongs us. It's not our business. We don't have the authority to retaliate or to get even with someone. God, if you look the verse up, and we're going to be reading in that portion here in a few minutes, but only God is authorized to get even. Now, you may say that God doesn't get even, but you know, when you stop and look at Scripture and you look at different things, and you look how God worked in the nation of Israel and the biblical principle of sowing and reaping, God doesn't get even for that person's sake, but He does for His own sake. And you'll see, you will find somebody put it this way, they say, what goes around comes around, the whole business. But the truth is, God works things out in such a way that He chastens and He chastises the believer. And He works things in such a way that those who are on the outside, when you stop and look at the incident that took place on that day when Moses stood at the edge of the Red Sea, God had given Pharaoh 9 opportunities to let the children of Israel go and to set them free and to do what He had asked them to do. And finally, they ended up on the bottom of the Red Sea, dead. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I want to tell you, Moses was not equipped to do what God had done. And you can see that over and over again. I thought about Joshua. They went in, they took Jericho. Things went very well. They went according to plan. He was obedient. When they went into Ai, things went opposite. They lost, but when they went back, and God had told them how to do this and so on, and when the people from Ai came out, and children of Israel went in and burned the city, you stop and think, it isn't up to us to take care of those who wrong us. We can pray for them and hope that the Lord, I thought about it before, and I've seen what has happened sometimes to people who had even wronged me personally. And when I look at how the Lord had taken care of things, not just for my sake, because sin is against God, that I wouldn't remotely be able to hurt somebody to the degree and the suffering that a person would go through who's disobedient to God. We have to be careful not to take God's authority. God only has the authority to get even. Well, number 9, Matthew 6:15. We don't have to turn there. You can look it up later if you wish. Do you know that not to forgive hinders fellowship with God? If you harbor in your heart tonight resentment against another believer, against another person, it hinders your fellowship with God. And I can look back and I can think of times in my life when my fellowship with the Lord was hindered because I allowed a root of bitterness to take hold and to grow in my heart and in my life. How many of you haven't done that? I don't like it when somebody does something that offends me. I don't like it when they do it over and over and over again. And sometimes we get to the place where the thought of the incident overwhelms us, and that's all we think about. And what happens is my fellowship with the Lord becomes broken. That's how come when we break bread together, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. And the idea is if I have something against a brother or a sister in the Lord that's a difficulty or a problem that needs to be dealt with, I can't have communion with the Lord. I can't have fellowship. And our fellowship gets broken. So keep in mind, when I'm not forgiving, when I refuse to forgive, it hinders my fellowship with God. And number 10, I want to turn to this passage, Ephesians chapter 4. Be ye kind, verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Why should I be forgiven, and why should I forgive someone? Do you know that if I'm here tonight and I'm a believer, God has forgiven me? Don't say for what. I know no one said that. But it gets interesting. Sometimes I can remember an occasion when I had a discussion with a gentleman. I had apologized for something, and the individual said to me, "Oh, I know, I couldn't believe you did that." So as the conversation went on, I asked him, "Have you never done anything like that?" "No, never." And I got to the place where I thought, well, I hope he forgives me, because this is the first time in my life so far that I've actually met a perfect person. But the truth is, none of us really are perfect. And the idea is that God, why should we forgive others? It's because Christ has forgiven us. God has forgiven you. And you can go back and you can look, or you can look forward. And I'm thankful tonight that I can look forward, that my past sin is forgiven. Those things that I may be doing even now or today is forgiven. And I know that my future sins are already forgiven because of what Christ has done for us. So why should we forgive each other? Simply this: because God, for Christ's sake and because of what he has done, has forgiven us. So that's good that we can, God forgave me. Number 11, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 18, 23 to 33. And I want you to think about this just for a few minutes. Let's go back in our mind's eye. God always existed. God was always holy. God was always righteous. God was always sovereign. He was always just. There has never been, or there never will be, anyone or anything that can match God in any way. He's absolutely holy, and he always was. And you think sometimes, or I might think sometimes, but this offense was too great. That was too awful what you did. You offended me too deeply. Our fellowship will be broken. It'll be broken forever. I'm going to forgive you, but I'll never have anything to do with you. That's a neat kind of forgiveness. Aren't you glad that God didn't do that? Now, you having said that, or having thought that, being imperfect and being a sinner too, can you imagine how offended a holy God must be when we sin against him? When you sin, you're sinning against a God who is absolutely perfect. I'll get you tonight if you want to make me a list of the times that God has done something against you. When has God ever did anything to hurt you? The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When has God ever turned his back on you, or gone away from you, or been out of your reach? Do you know that the Bible tells us, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, thy walls are continually before me. God is always exactly where we need him. Yet we think we're offended. We can't be offended to the extent that sin offends a holy God. when Lu Jing goes to the place where she works and so on, I do a little bit of housework. It annoys me if somebody comes in with mud on their feet. It annoys me when I get, sometimes I make supper. It's never any good, but I still make it. And it annoys me if she comes home 5 minutes late because, honey, I have it hot. And it's ready. And mine went back over the years how many times some little thing would take place and I would be delayed. And then my mind went to Ten Commandments. My mind went to the Great Commission. My mind went to what Scripture says and how we walk with the Lord and how we're supposed to be. And I want to tell you, I'm just one big offense. If I were God, when I looked at myself and some of us, think about it. It's the very God who created us that we offend when we sin. Nobody can offend us. We can't be offended like God's offended. And we, namby-pamby, and have softened sin to the extent where we miss the point. God is holy and we're sinners. And we have offended Him. Well, number 10, Hebrews 12 and verse 6, there's also the danger of chastening. Nobody likes to be chastened. And one of the things that I both like and don't like about God all at the same time is just this. He doesn't say to me, Tony, I'm chastening you now. I have to figure that part out on my own. You disobey God and you do things that you had not to do, and you continue to do them, and you be unforgiving. It's highly possible that the Lord may chasten you. And the idea of chastening is just the Lord will hinder that which you try to do, and He will do different things in your life that would be a trouble to you, that would be a problem to you, things that would hurt you. We could say that He punishes us. And the chastening hand of the Lord is most unpleasant. And according to this chapter, that if you say that you're a believer and you haven't experienced chastening, then you're a bastard and not a son. We all experience it from time to time. Why? Because we disobey. Then comes the hard part. After reading all that and so on, I came to another portion of Scripture that's related to this, and I want to read it together with you tonight as we close. Romans chapter 12. Great chapter. What are we supposed to do with our enemies? Well, we're supposed to forgive them, right? We're not supposed to hold anything against another person. But it also, the idea here is in verse 20, Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. I'll go back verse 19, I guess, Romans 12, 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And we had looked at that already. Only God has the authority to avenge us. It's not up to me. Then it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Wow. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Doesn't say cut off his food supply so he'll starve. It said, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You can look at this. The Lord Jesus Christ said it pretty much the same in Matthew 5, 43 to 48. What do you do if we're supposed to love our enemies? We're supposed to help our enemies. If somebody is working against me, biblically, I'm supposed to do everything I can to help that person. Something about that runs contrary to my natural, normal thinking. How about you? That's just in the flesh. In the natural, that's just not how we are. So I decided, how am I supposed to love my enemy? I have difficulty with that one. I had someone phone me twice in the last week who actually a while back had done some things that wouldn't be good for this church, wouldn't be good for me as a person. And this individual wanted some advice. And my advice was just this. Well, I'd have to hear the other side of the story. The other individual, I'd have to hear from him. And the guy got annoyed because I couldn't give him advice. Listen, what are you supposed to do? How are we supposed to treat those who would, or somebody who would look at me as their enemy? We're not supposed to have enemies, right? Who's our enemy? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Bible tells us that each other, we're not each other's enemy. It's the enemy, the wicked one, the devil, Beelzebub, Apollodon, Abaddon, whatever you want to call him. Beelzebub is the devil, the Lucifer, the liar. The father of lies is our enemy. Another man, another brother in the Lord, another person is not our enemy. We might be theirs in their mind, but we're not supposed to go through this life making enemies. So, I jotted down 3 points to close with. How do you love your enemy? I struggle with that one. The basic instinct that I have is I don't like my enemies. The Bible says to love them. Well, number one, you could try doing good things for them. Have you ever tried that? You take the enemy that you have, somebody who's supposed to be your enemy, who's against you. Do something good for them. Like make a booby trap. That's not what I mean. Do good things for them. Number two, how about this? The Bible says to bless them that curse you. How do you bless somebody who's your enemy? I found it interesting that the word bless carries with it the idea of compliment. Did you ever compliment someone and it almost shocked them? Almost shocked them to death by by complimenting them. You can try that. So do something good for them. You can compliment them. There's one other thing that you can do. And I don't know if you've tried this one or not. It helps. You could pray for them. If you have an enemy or someone who you have difficulty forgiving or whatever, try praying for them, but be careful when you do. I'll tell you something that I've experienced more than once. I've prayed for an individual and God changed me. What difference? When your prayer is answered and that would the right thing is accomplished from your prayer, that the conflict could be over. This life isn't supposed to be a life of conflict. It's supposed to be We're supposed to live peaceably with all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Very quickly, just this, that we're supposed to... God knows everything. He can't forget anything, actually. Trying to forget seems to make things more permanent in my mind. Forgiveness is an act of the will. Not to forgive is disobedience. It's not based on feeling. God commands forgiveness. God only is only authorized to get even. Not to forgive hinders our fellowship with God. God forgave me. We've offended God more than we could be offended. It's the danger of chastening. Do good things for your enemy. Bless him, and you could pray for him. Let's just pray. Thank you, our Father, again for these few minutes we've had together. And we thank you, Lord, that as we look through your word, you've not suggested but commanded us to be forgiving. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace to be forgiving as we ought to be, and, Lord, that we would discover that we become set free when we're forgiving. I thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.